to many, this body's work and really, indeed, the entire pension problem continues like a horrible toothache that just won't go away. What are you hearing about the progress on this issue?
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, and I was a bit startled when I read an article today where Representative Neckrit said that they're very close to having a bill presented for the veto session. I do think that the negotiations are fluid, but to use an expression, I don't believe it's soup yet. There is still a disagreement I'm relying upon Representative Tracy and Representative Sanger, who are representing the House Republican Caucus, that there still needs to be some improvement on the long-term savings side. And our friends, Matt Murphy, who's a Senate Republican, presented to the Democrats some additional recommendations, and I am not quite sure where the Democrats are with that. We think that those are important because we all know that the issue needs to be done, but we have to do it right. But I'm not going to just wave the white flag of an expediency because people have been worn down, they're tired of the issue, they want to get it off their plates. Some people just want it over with, and they just don't, I quite frankly, would just want to put out a press release that says that they were successful in voting and helping bring about pension reform. But I still don't believe that we're quite there. The speaker stated that in this report that pension reform must be meaningful, and I would share that position with them. And how we get to meaningful is still a matter of negotiations between the members of the conference committee and the leadership in all the chambers. But I'm very much engaged with our members. I'm ready and willing to extend the negotiations. By setting this artificial date of the veto session to have this accomplished, I think is maybe a bit premature. If we can find a resolution where there is going to be agreement with a good majority of the members in both chambers, House Republicans and Democrats, we still have the ability to call for a special session when we think it's appropriate.
So you think that the chances are maybe less than 50-50 that pension legislation will come out of the veto session then?
As of today, that's my impression. That's correct.
In March, you voted for House Bill 1165, which was designed to save the state about $100 billion over the next 30 years or so. This was a compromise bill co-authored by your predecessor, Tom Cross. How much of HB 1165 do you think will survive the commission's work and be included in the bill that everyone votes for?
Well, HB 1165 and also Senate Bill 1, I think, are very similar. But to me, what all of us have agreed upon for the last 3 years, that the greatest strain upon the public pension system is the COLA, the 3% compounded COLA. Every year between new hires and paying out on the COLA, it's about $600 million. So I've asked our people who are crunching the numbers to really go through this proposal, which is going to keep the compounding factor, but limited to 0.5% of CPI. I'm hearing different things from different individuals, but I think that if we keep a compounding factor, I think it is problematic. I would rather have a straight COLA, let the courts make the ultimate decision, which they will, let them do their work. But the COLA to me is probably the most important aspect of this. And I think that in the world we're living in, people are living much longer than when the actuaries years ago had estimated. And we have to accept the fact that these systems no longer have the ability to manage under the status quo. This 3% compounded COLA has been, it was well-intentioned years ago, but we can't afford it.
I'm Willis Kernan. We're speaking with the newly installed minority leader of the Illinois House, Jim Durkin, a Republican from Western Springs. Among other issues likely to be debated next month are same-sex marriage, which passed in the Senate but was never called for a vote in the House. Late last week, a judge ruled a suit striking down Illinois' gay marriage ban can go forward. You are described as a fiscal conservative and a social moderate, and you're on record in opposition to same-sex marriage. What goes into that decision?
Well, you know what? I'm Roman Catholic. I've had discussions with many friends on both sides of the issue. I've studied the issue inherently about where the law is in Illinois. I just personally feel that the current laws that are in place with respect to the human rights amendments, civil unions fully protect and allow for for gay and lesbian community to have these, a relationship that's recognized by the state of Illinois, because it really is a civil union, is a recognition and is a state function. And I believe that the laws in place are sufficient. It's a personal decision. Everybody knows someone who is a family member who's feels very strong about the issue, but I'm also, I've had extensive conversations with the Cardinal. I live in the West Suburbs, and I just feel that the issue is something that each member has to make a personal decision on. It's not really a Republican-Democratic issue.
Federal courts have ruled on it. There is a nationwide drumbeat for same-sex marriage, many people say. Some say it's a human rights issue whose time has come, with comparisons to the civil rights movement in the 60s. Do you agree with all this, and do you see yourself maybe being on the wrong side of history someday?
I've had that presented to me, and we're talking about the priorities of the state right now. Same-sex marriage will get a vote in the House. I can't predict the outcome, and I know that there's, we're 47 members in the House and 71 members on the Democratic side, and if you get 60 votes, I think that they've been able to achieve a lot in a very short amount of time. We just got to go back a little bit of history, back in the last lame duck session where they produced a income tax increase, repealed the death penalty, and passed a civil union bill within a 48-hour period with just Democratic votes. But to me, when we talk about social issues and what's important to the people of Illinois, the greatest social issue that I see is a 9.2% unemployment rate in Illinois.
We're running out of time here, Representative Durkin. I just wanted to ask you about your relationship with Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the Illinois House. You are, of course, in charge of the Republicans. He's in charge of the Democrats. How is your relationship with Speaker Madigan?
I've worked with the Speaker for the last 14 years. He and I have a cordial, respectful relationship. I've had some people say you got to go down in there and they need to duke it out with the Speaker. My responsibility to my constituency and also being the voice of the 47 members is that I'm down there to try to produce results. I am a result-driven person. I'm a former prosecutor where I try cases and I bring a result. But that's how I approach my life, my business. I want to get the biggest issues of the day resolved, and I want to put partisan politics aside on these issues that do affect the future of the state. I've known him. I've worked with him on issues in the past, and I will work with him to the extent that I can to ensure that the rights of the minority party and also our constituents are being represented, and I think that he appreciates that.